Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, Bramell and Coleman pretty tight out of the blocks, and Coleman now moving away. Christian Coleman challenged late there by Bramell, and on the inside Ronnie Baker was coming too, but Christian Coleman will have had an idea of exactly how he wanted to come back, and I reckon it went something a little bit like that.
He's back, and so too are we. Season 2, Episode 2, Running Things with Donovan Bailey. He doesn't need an introduction. I'm his co-host, Jason Portwando. DB, we'll get to Coleman's comeback in a second. But first, turn the page. Brand new month.
Right.
It's February. A lot of history for black people.
Well, yeah, you know what? One, good to see you again, man.
Mm-hmm. And, as always.
And I think that it's very important for us to start our show today. You know, acknowledging what month it is. I've always said that, as black people, this month probably is too short.
It is the shortest one on the calendar year, by the way.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I say is that it's incredible to acknowledge some of the lesser known black people that's been successful and accomplished during this month. But I want to make sure that my audience understands that a celebration of success by black people should be done every month. But we're acknowledging it this month for those lesser known. So, I mean, for all the incredible, successful people before, all the people that are doing it now, and all the people in the future, let's continue to play it forward, continue to do good, and let's continue to do great work.
Founded in 1915. Better late than never. I mean, like you said, this is something that should have been going on a lot longer than that. And we should acknowledge as well, it's recognized in Canada, United States,
right,
UK. It's got to become more of a global thing.
You know what? I just think that why we talk a lot about educational system and all of that. And I've always been a supporter, an incredible supporter of understanding what history is. No matter how bad it might be or horrific and terrible it might be, I think it's very important to teach our generation today every single thing that happened. Teach them all about the Holocaust. Teach them all about slavery. Teach them all about every single thing. That way, for our kids, it becomes a bigger, better, and more equal place for everyone to function and be productive members of society.
100%. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, it goes on and on and on. I'm not going to name everybody, obviously, but in terms of sports perils,
yes,
Jackie Robinson, Willie O'Ree, you.
Right.
Only one Canadian man has won the 100 meter when it comes to the Olympics, and he just happens to be black.
Well, yeah, I think so. Thank you.
You know? No, I mean, it's true. I mean, I have friends of mine.
Right.
Their kids have done projects on you in terms of Black History Month, right?
I'm very blessed and always humbled when, every single year we have a ton of, I'm booked solid the month of February usually because there's a ton of kids. And it's not just black kids. It's a ton of kids that actually want to know history and also want to know the story. So I'm always blessed and humbled that my story of success remains at one of the highest levels in the world of sports, and certainly in Canada. So, I mean, I'm, you know, to be the Olympic champion, first man in the history of the world to be Olympic champion, world record holder. I'm just hoping that, you know, Andre and any of the kids now and the kids in the future, they have an opportunity to be a world record holder. They have an opportunity to be a 100-meter Olympic champion, have an opportunity, you know, to be a 100-meter world champion. I mean, so my responsibility at this point, as you know, I mean, you and I are very much the same. We're all playing it forward, and my job is to support all of these kids now who are vying for and ensuring that I support them in them getting to that place where they're at the top of their game.
Appreciate you. You know,
thank you, boss.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is important. We will acknowledge black people throughout the February podcast, powered by ACAS in terms of running things right here with Donovan Bailey. All right, well, nice little segue. I'm going to go back to February of 1996, Millrose. It was Bailey Surin, right? I mean, more recently, the Americans getting the headlines.
Right.
Off the top, we played Christian Coleman. I know LL Cool J said, don't call it a comeback, but
right.
He's wrong. That was impressive considering 18 months, DB, of ring rust.
Right.
And he was ready for that fight.
I got to tell you, man, I watched the race, and I watched it. I mean, and obviously I'm watching it from a completely different lens than the average person.
Right.
And what I loved about what... One, I'm a fan of Christian Coleman, so I just want to make sure that that's out there. He reminds me of the old school days when guys came in, showed up, looked in your eye, took out your heart, and went home, right? And I love that about him. So the race itself, race itself in New York, it's clear that he had some ring rust. But it's clear that his overwhelming mental strength or psychological strength over the field still remains, because I know he was for the last like 5-7 meters he was actually straining. I mean, he was actually straining, and that's not 6.34 Christian Coleman,
right?
So I mean, and another thing is at 60 meters Tyrone Bramell, who was the fastest sprinter in the world last year,
mm-hmm.
was looking over at him. So it's amazing that Christian's been gone for 18 months, comes back, and in his first race he's in Tyrone's head already in a 60 meters. Now, the 60 meters that's the consolation prize, really. I mean, the 100 meters is the marquee event of every single Olympics, of our entire sport. And so, you know, the fact that Christian came back, won, and still in people's head, you know, man, life is going to be fine. It's going to be a fine balance this year, man. I'm very certain that I'm looking forward to the outdoor season, the World Championships. As are you, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Psychologically, you're right. That's a huge aspect of life in general. Right. Not just talking sports. But so back in the day, I want to say you were 6'5", 6". I'm pretty sure that was the number. You didn't need to dip to beat Bernie. It was decisive. Coleman needed to dip. But the fact that he was beating those guys, like you just mentioned, Noah Lyles, 200
right.
meters.
Right.
Nobody does it better.
Right. Ronnie. Ronnie Big.
Exactly.
These are all 6'4 sprinters.
Right. That's right. What I'm saying. So he beat a legit field. Not like he's beating a bunch of school kids or whatever.
No, he's not beating a bunch of NCAA graduates.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, he's come back and psychologically, like I said, I mean, he didn't have to do anything. He lined up and he beat all those guys. I mean, it's still early in the season. However, I do believe, I mean, he knows where he's at physically. I mean, there's always going to be a rust. I mean, that always happens when you come back from anything, in any sport, actually in anything you do. I mean, if you're a journalist, or, you know, if whatever it is that you do, when you come back for your first gig, there's always some rust, and then you get your wheels and it starts turning and you start going. But Christian certainly is. He's going to be all right, man.
He's just on a different level. So give me your grading here on a scale of 1 to 10. That comeback was a what?
You know what? One, I can't say as an athlete. I think that he'd be best to answer that question. But I'm thinking that physically for him,
mm-hmm.
it would be probably a 6.5 out of 10. Psychologically,
that's scary.
Psychologically and mentally for him, it's a 10 out of 10 because he like once you got someone thinking about you and you own them. then it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's like Christian knows that he has to go back and work on getting the pep in his step again. He knows that, right? And that's just training. The fact is, when you have an overwhelming mental strength, you know, and over your opponent, you know, you're way ahead of the game.
It's a scary thought for the rest of the world when he's been away that long,
right?
And you can't beat him. He's only going to get better, one would think.
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, as you know, I always like great news from track and field. You know, I like great positive news, and him coming back to the sport, him coming back and winning, you know, at this level is awesome for the sport.
And the sport will thrive even more with the return of the world's fastest man. We haven't seen him yet. We haven't seen him since what he did at the Olympics, jaw-dropping Jacobs.
Listen, Marcel Jacobs. Yes, for all you people, he's Italian. He's Italian.
Molto bene.
Molto bene. He's Italian. He's running also. He's returning also. And it's very interesting. He's a European champion. And he's a bigger, stronger guy than DeGrasse, than Coleman, than Noel Lyles. He's just a big, strong guy. So, you know, he's around the same size I am, which is, you know, over 6'1", and also, you know, 200 pounds. So big, strong, fast. And all I'm telling you this, Jason, is I'm dying for him to lay it down, because all he has to do is run 6'4", 6'5". He doesn't have 6'4", 6'5", you know, sub 6'5", sub 6.5, and he's good to go. I mean, but you can see that. You can see.
Can he do it though? I kind of feel like the stars just aligned for him last year, winning that race. I want to see it again. Well, I'm not saying I'm not a believer, but it's a small sample size.
Well, we have to see it again for it to be believable,
though, right?
Right, and so. He took, I mean, clearly there's a lot of scrutiny on him. He took the time off after competing at the Olympic Games.
Right.
But now he's opening. I mean, he was actually a very good indoor sprinter. He is the European champion. He ran, I think he was 6.47 last year. Right. So if for the naysayers who didn't actually see the trajectory of this kid, he started by running 6.4 indoors last year. That's, and he ended at the Olympics running 9.80. So again, I just want to see what he's going to open up with. And if he opens up and he's smooth, if he just wins, then I guess we're going to be in for one, an incredible indoor season, based upon, you know, if Christian and Ronnie Baker and Trevon and Marcel and any of these kids are going to run indoors. But not only that, go to the indoor championships, and man, outdoor season is going to be fantastic.
It is truly a global event.
It is.
Track and field. The Americans are there, obviously. The Canadians are there. Now you have the Italians.
Yes, sir.
Jamaicans. It goes on and on. I mean, UK's in the mix.
Always, yeah.
Speaking of Jamaicans, let's wrap this with the ladies, because Elaine Thompson, she is by far the best thing on two legs when it comes to that discipline.
Absolutely.
She's back.
Elaine ran, opened up her season also. I mean, albeit it's an outdoor 60 meters, and she ran 7.1 into a negative wind. For all the youths who don't understand that, when you run indoors, there's no wind. So she ran 7.
Just from the air conditioning, right?
Exactly. So she ran. I remember running a 60 meter outdoors in Brazil one year that they'd set up for me. But yeah, there was wind in her face. She will. Undoubtedly, you know, I think a lot of people believe that Privalova's 60-meter world record might be in jeopardy when she actually goes on the boards indoors somewhere. So I'm definitely always looking forward to the ladies competing, and definitely looking forward to Elaine, or if Shelly Ann's going to run, or Dina Asher-Smith, or any of the incredible ladies that are out there.
From 31 yards, McPherson. And Cincinnati is heading to the Super Bowl. Garoppolo under pressure. Donald got there in the air, intercepted by the Rams. And they may ride to the Super Bowl on that.
So we're all set as we transition to talk a little football here on Running Things with Donovan Bailey, DB and JP with you, brought to you by Acast. And for the first time ever, not a one, not a two, not a three seed, we have two number fours going head to head. How many of you out there had Matthew Stafford versus Joe Burrow as your Super Bowl matchup?
First of all, you know, hey dude, here's what I'm thinking, right? For those people who bet online, you know, all the betting apps that are out there, I would like to know who picked these two teams at the start of NFL season that they're going to meet in the Super Bowl. Because whomever it was, I need to find that person and roll with him, because he needs to go buy an actual lottery ticket. But that super mega max in the U.S. that has, like, it's $1 billion or something. No, listen, I mean, I think that when I watch football, one of the things that I look at, you know, I try to step back and see exactly what the product looked like. And I'm telling you, Jason, for the NFL has, you know, there's been a couple of black eyes, you know, in their sport.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And they probably have lost some fans over the years with some dumb things. But I have to tell you that the last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks,
unbelievable.
If they wanted to win back all the fans in the world and gotten millions more, the product that they have put on the field has been incredible. And I'm telling you, man, you know, yeah, we're certainly gonna everyone's going to tune into the Super Bowl. I think everyone's going to tune into the Super Bowl. But I'm telling you that the product that's been on the field, the athletes that have been playing the game has been incredible. And I'm telling you, I'm loving it.
There's something about this year's game. I know it's not Brady. I know you don't have the big-name quarterbacks. I mean, Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes. But there's something cool about this. Burrow is a second-year player.
Right.
Stafford's been in the league for like 13 seasons.
Yep.
First with the Rams.
I've never sniffed this.
And we have two first-year quarterbacks in terms of, you know, making a maiden voyage on the biggest stage.
Yeah, there are certainly, you have to have that nostalgia where you're cheering for the underdog guy who who hadn't made it yet, with the Stafford, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you've got, man, Heisman Trophy winner. Right, like I'm just saying to you that
LSU.
But I'm saying to you, Burrow is on this incredible journey where it's going to be like Heisman, national championships, and he's going to the Super Bowl. So again, I'm loving all of that, man. I'm loving what I see. I'm looking forward to the game. I definitely got my nachos ready, and I'm going to be watching.
Get the popcorn ready.
That is right.
All is well on the field, off the field. It continues to be one of the main topics with the NFL. And it's been, unfortunately, this way for a good few years now.
Right.
The league is 70% black, talking about the players.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the head coaches, 3% black. There's just one black head coach in the NFL as you and I speak right now.
Right.
And that's Mike Tomlin
right.
of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, it's very important. I mean, I've always been an outspoken person to give people an opportunity. I think that every single qualified black NFL coach should be getting an interview for all the vacant positions today. I always say qualified because I think that sometimes, as a proud man, I think that I don't ever want to get handed something that I do not qualify for.
Yep.
Don't give me the black award. I don't want it. What I want is the award for being really good at what I do. And there are some incredible qualified coaches that I think deserve a shot to get in there and to run some of these teams. Everyone can look at, Tomlin as an example. He's done an incredible job, won Super Bowls, just like salt of the earth, foundation of his community. And I'm very certain that we can get, you know, Byron Leftwich. There's a few guys that are out there that certainly should be interviewed, mm-hmm. and considered seriously and hired as a black coach. So I'm certainly supportive of that.
You spoke of Leftwich. There's Eric Bieniemy,
yep.
offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs. You got Raheem Morris's name also out there. Right. There's a few, but here's the rub. Black coaches who fail in their first try, mm-hmm. never seem to get that second or third try. It just doesn't happen for whatever the reason. And it wasn't all that long ago, 2011, we had 8 black head coaches in the league. So I'm not sure what has gone wrong, but something has definitely gone wrong.
Well, you know what? Again, we talk about qualified black coaches, and it always comes back to that. And so let's just take black out, mm-hmm. qualified okay. coaches who happen to be black. I think that it's very important for those men that are like on the sidelines now and managing, whether it's defensive coach, offensive coach, managing their team in whatever capacity they are, they need to put themselves out there also. I mean, I believe that they need to speak up more. As well as obviously do a good job, because that's what the resume is all about. The resume is about whether you qualify and whether you can actually do the job on the job, on the day of the job. So I think that, for it not being so long ago when there's a lot of, when the implementation of a lot of black coaches, I think that we need to get to that place again where black coaches, they're black athletes looking up at these, mm-hmm. Whether it's from the ownership box or on the sidelines coach. I think it's very important for the next generation to see that some of the young black men that are playing football, whether you're 16, 18, 12 years old right now, that there's an opportunity for you to not only play the game, but for you to stand on sidelines and lead also.
And it's not just a black-white issue. This is about diversity, inclusion. Players getting invited to combines,
right.
trying to get, as you mentioned, more of a diverse situation when it comes to the head coaches, even ownership.
Right.
It's sad to say we're in 2022.
Right.
There are only 2 minority head coaches in the NFL.
Right.
Shahid Khan,
right.
Pakistani-American, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
And you have Kim Pegula, mm-hmm. who is married to Terry Pegula, owner of the Buffalo Bills. She's an Asian-American.
Right.
Outside of those two, that's it.
Well, you know, we talk about coaches, Jason, and so we're talking about the C-suite. We're talking about in the ownership box. Now, I think it's very important. I grew up understanding and seeing successful people of all colors around me, including like everybody. I mean, I'm saying there's not one single race or culture that I did not see be successful. And I saw people that were black that were extremely successful from the ground level all the way to the top. And I think it's important that, ownership is seriously considered. We've got some incredibly successful people in the U.S. I mean, I think that, first of all, I think that Oprah would be a great owner of an NFL team. I think that Tyler Perry would be an incredible owner of an NFL team. I think that Bob Johnson, BET, would be a billionaire, would be extremely. Robert Wilson, who is a huge philanthropist, he's erasing a lot of HBCU colleges, erasing some of those kids' college debt. I think that all of those, I mean, listen, Michael Lee Chin, our own Canadian here. Mm-hmm. I mean, billionaire guy. I mean, I think that all things considered, there are people that are successful and there are people that should be considered. And again, I can only speak of this. I mean, I've met some of these people and I think that they should also throw their hat in the ring and see where things go. It would be actually very good to see people at the highest level succeed. I talk a lot. I mean, I'm a mama's boy. Everybody knows that. And
aren't we all?
Well, I hope so.
Aren't we all?
Because if you're not a mama's boy, shame on you.
Right.
Right. Right. But I'm a mama's boy. And one of the things, my mom taught me to communicate from I was 1, 2, 3 years old. And she was the one who told me that I could do anything that I want to do. But she also did everything that she wanted to do. And it was not a long time ago that women weren't allowed in the boardroom. Women weren't allowed to own, vote, all of those things. I mean, just like black people.
Right.
So I'm saying to you that when I look at succession, I always think of people and how it is that they need to go. So as far as black ownership, black coaches, I mean, I remember at one point, society had dictated that to women. And so the exact same protocol that they followed to become successful is the exact same, I think, that we all need to follow now.
Wanna read you a quote here, disturbing, from Shahid Khan. Talked about him being the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So back in 2010, 12 mm-hmm. years ago,
right.
He tried to buy a controlling stake in the Rams. Quote, I had met some people at that time, and the apology that went around, the conjecture was, you will never get approved because you're not white.
Right. But you know what?
That's insane.
Of course it's insane.
We know it's been an old boys club, but to hear that?
No, it's, you know what? It's incredible. I think there's lots of times that you and I have talked.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is not ignore some of the ignorance that you're going to feel, right? I mean, that's just maybe my advice. Ignore some, because there's many people that said that I was never going to do what I did. And I'm sure there's many people that have said to you that you're not gonna do what you did, Jason. So right. I mean, so a big part of this is that he's gonna face and be in a room with people who, it is a complete old boys club. It is absolutely complete and completely. So at the end of the day, you really got to ignore that he's an NFL club owner now, and I hope that with him being there, he's opening the doors for other people to come out.
Right.
And to buy a stake in some team.
Right.
Somewhere. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then even the late Bob McNair,
right,
owner of the Houston Texans, was quoted as saying one time, you know, we can't have the inmates running the prison. I mean, this is just, well, it's crazy.
Again, you know, you're going to find people. Here's what's incredible. I lived in America for 17 years, mm-hmm. and I love America because you're never going to find a bunch of more passionate, patriotic people in the history of the world, but you're also never going to find, people who are just, right to the point, but you know, right to the point. And ultimately, if someone, my rule of thought has always been, if someone says no to you, go around them, go over them, go through them, just go.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. One more thing on football before we conclude. Halftime show. Man, oh man, that is going to be a star-studded affair. Mary J., Snoop Dogg, Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem.
You know what? I got to tell you what I like about this. And again, I'm going to come from this angle.
Okay.
I think there was a lot of people that were really concerned with Jay-Z being at the table with the NFL, being in the room with the NFL. Negotiating and letting them understand, one, the product that they have on the field, what it looks like to the public. And I think that when I see the halftime show, clearly, I'm an old school hip hop guy, just like mm-hmm. I'm straight up an old school hip hop guy. So this generational halftime show is going to be epic. It's going to be better than anything else. Obviously, I'm biased. And yes, nobody's going to tell me any different, right? However, I think that what we're seeing and what I'm liking is I'm thinking that Jay-Z at the table with the owners are allowing them to hear his voice as to what the product needs to look like and what it needs to be, and as opposed to just throwing basically throwing a game together and not celebrating like the greatest American sport in history. So I like the fact that Jay-Z's at the table. The halftime show for me is indicative of him being at the table and explaining to the executives and the other owners and the owners exactly what the game should look like. So again, for me, it's top down. Jay-Z being at the table, I think, is influencing that. And I definitely know the show is going to be epic. So I'm looking forward to that as much as I'm looking forward to the game.
That might be better than the game.
It might be.
No offense, but that might be better than the game. Old school hip hop.
Yeah, you can't.
Give me one.
Warning, Biggie, man. That's
Biggie.
That's
I'm taking you further back. I'm going Eric B. Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah, Eric's all right.
I'm getting paid in full.
You're getting paid in full. Paid
in full.
Well, that's pretty good. But I'm just saying one of my songs, one of my go-to songs is Warning by Biggie. But anything, you know, KRS-One. I'm a KRS-One guy. So, you know, hey, and anything coming out of the East Coast, man, it started there, you know? So, yeah.
Dancehall?
Oh, come on.
But who's your favorite? Give me one.
Oh, man.
You like to give me, that's the problem with you. You like to
paint with too broad a brush. You
can't paint with that broad brush. Give me one.
No.
One stroke.
No. Supercat. But yeah, Bounty, when I was competing.
Right.
When I was competing.
Did you have music to pump you up? What was it?
Dude, I'm telling you. I'll tell you exactly what used to happen.
Okay.
There's a good friend of mine who's very good friend there's a dance hall crew called Stone Love. I'm sure you
of course. Oh,
yeah. Right. So they used to make me a mixtape for me to warm up. So, brethren, I'm telling you. That's nice. So I'm telling you, and I'm telling you that when I'm there and some Bounty come on, man, I'm straight up shots.
Nice. Can you do that again? Okay, I don't know if you can do that. Wow, that wasn't my fluke. All right.
Yeah, shots.
So we're sitting here with the GOAT when it comes to Canadian track and field. And you think of other sports. By the way, it's now official. Lee, official, Tom Brady has retired.
Oh.
Let's talk a little tennis on the way out. Because three guys were locked at 20 in terms of career Grand Slam wins. Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal. Rafa now standing alone with 21 slams after that epic, and I do mean epic, Aussie Open battle against the 10-year younger, Daniil Medvedev.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something else. Is he now number one? Because for the longest time, people thought it was Roger.
You know what? Here's what happens. Okay. And here's what happens in sports, especially individual sports. This is not a vote. It's not a vote. The guy has the victories.
Right.
So there's no need to vote. And he's still very young. I mean, I'm saying he's very young. There's still time to go. I mean, when I look at him, I think of also Tiger. I mean, yes, you know, huge Tiger fan. But I mean, but Nadal is incredible, and he deserves all the accolades right now, man. He's got the crown right now all by himself.
I'm glad you can relate because, like your sport,
right?
There ain't no teammates.
Right.
This is all on you.
Right.
You're out there running back and forth for 5.5 hours.
That's right.
It's not like Tom Brady gets a chance to, you know, get a break when the defense is out there or Brady's just sitting back there handing off the football. No, you're competing.
That is correct. Well, I mean, there's nothing to hand off to anybody, right? No, there isn't. There, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's incredible that, you know, I was watching a show the other day, and they were talking about the three greatest athletes, and this three greatest athletes that they mentioned was Tom,
okay,
Wayne Gretzky, and who was the third guy?
Not Tiger.
Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and another team sport person. Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady, and was it a soccer player?
No, that wouldn't cut it.
No, it was Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, and Michael Jordan. Jordan. Oh my God, yes. And so I looked at
that's
it.
That's too hard to narrow down.
No, but Michael Jordan with no teammate is what?
Anybody without no, but LeBron James.
But that's my point. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky without Messi passing the puck.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Tom Brady without someone to pass the ball to or an offensive line to protect.
Without Bill Belichick.
Right. So when I look at that and I think, I can't believe that they're doing that. But then Muhammad Ali is left out. Usain Bolt is left out. Nadal is left out. I mean, I'm just saying to you that individually.
Right.
When the incredible thing about team sport is that it's actually a vote. And then with individual sports, it's just statistic, man. Tiger did it. Bolt did it. I'm just saying to you that Nadal did it. You have to look at that. So for me, I always think that the greatest athletes should also be in two categories. The greatest athlete in team, greatest athlete, period.
Huge. Huge. Michael's not winning all those titles without Pippen and the rest of the gang. So you're right.
No chance.
You're right about that. I don't like to agree with you on much, but
you have to.
You're right.
The facts are the facts, my man.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little friendly rivalry. Canada, U.S., I don't care what the sport, there's nothing better. And we saw it again recently on the soccer pitch. Make no mistake, because when you talk CONCACAF qualifying, there's a certain region that is covered. Yeah. It's always been about Mexico
and the U.S.
and the U.S.
Right.
Time now to make a third nation involved in this equation.
Well, let's make it a first nation. I mean, let's make it the first
nation.
Let's
do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think that, you know, I've been called a lot of things, arrogant being one of them. Arrogant means...
But in a way, you have to be in your sport. No, I don't mind that.
But let me finish, though. Let me finish. I mean, arrogant... this is my definition of arrogance.
Okay.
I prepared myself. Mm-hmm. I've lived and worked to make sure that I'm the best. Now, the influence that I've had over the years, I hope is dripping down to some of these kids who are fearless against anybody. And when I'm watching, like whether I'm watching, I mean, I saw women's soccer. I remember speaking to Karina about that. And I'm seeing the men's soccer team now where it doesn't matter, man. You show up in my house. Imagine, Jason, when Michael Johnson came to the Skydome in 1999. I'm like, you're in my house, man. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the men's soccer team is that one, it's a team. You can see the unity and the happiness and the goals that these kids have. And I'm telling you, man, I love. The fact that these guys are fearless. I love the fact that they're in first place. I'm definitely a huge supporter in cheering them on and letting them get the eight points that they need to get to Qatar and I'm just hoping win the next two games, boys, and you're on your way, man. Yeah. Believe me, the champ is supporting you right from here.
They are good. They are good. No Alfonso Davies, their best player,
right,
was sitting at home. Watching with pom poms.
I love that though. I love
22 points for Canada, 16 for the U.S. Mexico also in there. Yeah. My goodness.
It's gonna be great.
22-18-18, not 16. So Canada, I don't want to say controls their own destiny because I don't like that term. It's called destiny. Which means it's fate. You can't control it. But I understand what they mean by that.
Well, I think that I like the fact that collectively they look like a team. Collectively, it's so like you see positivity, right? Like I'm an audience. I'm watching this at home, but you see, I mean, Alfonso Davies at home, like, and he's going crazy because he wants to be on the pitch with his teammates. So I love what they're doing. Boys, continue to do it. Collectively, you are incredible people and you're going to be champs, man. So like at the end of the day, fear no one. Take one game at a time and crush everybody that comes in front of you.
Oh, Canada. Oh, quickly, by the way, when you beat Johnson going that 150, what point did you realize, whoa, he's not there? I know you're so focused on your thing.
You're right. Well, I'm going to, so let me explain to you. And I've said this like 100 times. People don't even understand this. So I started on a stagger, which means I was behind him. So when you're in a race, you literally can feel the vortex of someone beside you. And I warn everyone, if you ever go on YouTube and take a look at this, I knew on my third step.
You caught him already.
That I caught him already.
Oh, yeah.
And it was over. So it was over. So, I mean, it's funny.
But what point did you realize he had dropped out?
Well, when there was nothing there, when there was just wind.
Because, I mean, I've done that before, you know. I've been in a race where I know I'm not beating the guy. I'm like, oh, my ankle, oh, my thigh, my quad, my hip. I pulled a hangnail, something. Because that way you didn't beat me. I pulled up.
Yeah, but sometimes that's what happens, man. You have to understand. I have an incredible, healthy respect for Michael Johnson. I think Michael Johnson is one of the greatest 400 meter, 200 meter, you know, speed endurance athletes in the history of the world.
You even met him halfway by going 150.
I did. So I have an incredible health and respect for him. But yeah, the 100 meters, I own that.
We'll wrap right there. As always, a lot of fun, DB. Appreciate you and appreciate all of you tuning in to this second season, episode 2 of Running Things with Donovan Bailey, powered by Acast. For DB, this is JP. Thank you as always for the company. We'll catch you again next time.
See you next week. Peace out.